and welcome to How to Be Successful with me, Vicky Paul. I'm an intuitive, artist, energy healer, and author, and I'm on a mission to help you live with more joy, purpose, and meaning. How to Be Successful is a straight-talking, heartfelt, and enlightening podcast full of soul-centered wisdom, home truths, life-changing insights, and free-flowing conversations with some of the most inspiring, knowledgeable, and honest voices in well-being, spirituality, self-love, and personal development. It's a show for people who are no longer satisfied chasing society's version of success because they're ready to embrace their gifts and thrive on their own terms. Today, I'm chatting to personal brand expert and business mentor, Kelly Lundberg.
I genuinely believe if you're in a business of selling a service or even selling a product, but you've never parted with that kind of investment, how do you expect people to pay for working with you? So if you're selling something at 5,000 US, but you've never actually invested into something that's 5,000 US dollars, it's really hard to make the cross connection for you to do it.
Kelly is a best-selling author and multi-award-winning entrepreneur. The former celebrity stylist currently hosts her own popular podcast, delivering on her mission to inspire at least five people a day to take action. She's a TEDx speaker, personal brand strategist, and business mentor who, like me, is proudly Scottish, and she's based in Dubai. Now, I know this is slightly off topic. However, stick with me. Personal brand is really closely linked to personal identity. And the more that we know about ourselves, the better we are to navigate our life. In this episode, Kelly shares how she has changed her career several times in the last 20 years. We talk about the two sides to personal identity, being young and naive and why that's a good thing, taking risks, why appearance matters, and the question that you should be asking yourself if you're not happy in work and you want to make a change.
Having, you know, gone through periods of my careers and had different identities and stayed within business but changed my identity, I actually think it's two parts. Your identity is something that you feel, but it's also something outwardly, what people, who people think you are. So I actually think it's two part, and I think the biggest challenge is actually marrying them up, is we don't actually step into the shoes of who people see us or vice versa. So I really do think the identity is two parts. And when you can, I think that's the whole thing, that when you're in flow, if you've ever talked about that in any of your podcasts, when you're in flow, I really do feel that that marriage of the identity is doing what you love, but also outwardly people can feel that and see it and also embrace that that is who you are, or that is what you say you do, or, you know, and it all kind of comes together and it just feels right. And it takes a lot of self-work often to even feel like we are the person that we actually, that other people see us, because other people position us slightly differently. And when what we see ourselves, we're harder on ourselves. It takes something bigger or more different for you to feel like, oh, I am this person now. Or when did you stop being this fully employed person? When did you become an entrepreneur? Well, it happens overnight, but that identity takes time to evolve into, oh, I am actually someone who owns my own business. So I think it takes time.
Do you think that you are born with that identity and then it starts to come out through whatever capacity it comes out? Because you started off your working life working for Emirates, and then you've kind of transitioned from celebrity stylist to brand and image to an entrepreneur to an author to a podcast. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not really scratching the surface of the different areas of your life and your business, and I want to talk about this later on. It's really about your car loan, so we're going to chat about that later. So hang around if you're wondering what that's all about. These are very different hats. Were you always an entrepreneur? Did you always feel this sense of, I'm going to do something different, I've got to be my own boss?
I think there was certainly an element of that I've always felt a strong sort of desire to be independent. So whether that was independent in school, being different to what I wanted to study or where I wanted to go, because my career even started before that. You know, I left Scotland when I was 18 and was a holiday rep for 4 years because I desperately didn't want to go to university. And I was just like desperate's the right word. I was desperate to sort of escape Scotland in the sense of the weather. And I just always felt like there was something else out there. And I don't know if I was born with that or whether that was through family holidays of seeing different places and travel and stuff. The common thread in it is the ability to take risks. You know, I took a risk at 18 to go and move overseas. I took a risk to go and move to the Middle East at a time when it was, there was the war going on, you know, taking a risk to leave a full-time job. So I think that's always been there. And I would say, you know, coupled with that, every single role that I've done, whether it's been employed or whether it's been in my own business, is a people person. And I think, you know, you could learn that, those skills could be potentially lent to any business that is service faced or front facing in the service industry. You know, cabin crew, you know, it was all about people, all about people. And then I think there is that certain sense of, even when I was a holiday rep, and I'm sort of jumping around here, but it all kind of makes sense. As a holiday rep, you had to look after 500 people for a week. You know, and you checked in with your superiors once a week and brought in the money for your sales. You know, even cabin crew, even though you had your line manager, you kind of left to do your own thing and serve the passengers. And then at the end of the flight, how did it go? So I think there's always been that level of kind of independence. And that's kind of lent itself to sort of, or I guess really finding my feet at 24 and going, do you know what? I'm going to go and start my own business. You know, completely naive what that actually meant. But I nearly think the naivety kind of got me through it. It was like, I don't know, maybe. And then at different ages, different things come in, you know. But certainly at that age, oh, I was so naive. Let's just go and do it.
The older you get, the less naive you become, because obviously you've got life experience behind you and you understand how things. And it would be lovely if we could bottle that and still have that naivety, you know, in each of our decades. Because as you say, it's naivety, but there's this total faith and belief that whatever you feel you can do or think you can do, you do it. And invariably, as we now know, that is positive manifestation. That is the energy that you need to put to whatever it is you're doing. If somebody was coming to you from a work point of view, where do you start your personal branding? What does that actually mean? What are the questions that you should be asking yourself?
Because I think there's probably two parts in that. Because I think when you said to someone at work, I'm imagining that they're not happy and kind of wanting to go and do their own thing. Whereas the whole personal brand piece, I do find those kind of people have some sort of idea as to this is what I want to do, versus someone who's like, I'm not sure what I want to do. So I think they're two quite different things. I think the person that's sitting there, you know, maybe if they're in a corporate job, or maybe they've got their own business, but they're just not happy and struggling with that sort of identity piece is you know, that question, you know, really being honest with yourself. Am I truly happy? Is this what I actually want to do? If I could wave a magic wand, what are the things that I would like to be doing? How would I like to be contributing towards the planet? And I don't necessarily just mean in the sustainability, to people, to services, to yourself. What do you owe yourself? So I think one part of that, but also asking around, and people are a little bit scared of this, you know, to go and ask their colleagues or their partner or their mum or dad or sister or brother or whatever, you know, what do you think of me? What's your honest opinion? You know, how would you describe me in three words? What do you think I should be going and doing? You know, getting, because often that goes back to the piece, what other people say you are, you often don't believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a whatever, you know, you're so outgoing and you really think on your feet or blah, blah, blah. And that person's going, wow, okay, I didn't actually see that quality, but maybe it is. So I do think there is that element of auditing yourself, which is the same when it comes to personal branding, but also getting someone else to do a little bit of an audit on you. When did you last go and ask someone some really honest questions?
To be honest, when do we ask these questions of ourselves? You change throughout your life. You know, you mature, you know, experiences influence and direct where you're going. So you sometimes go, right, who am I? You know, who you were in your 20s is not who you are in your 30s and your 40s and so on. So I guess it's more about self-awareness as much as anything else.
Absolutely. And I've been saying, you know, it's okay if I'm not feeling, you know, if you're not feeling happy or if you're wanting to change, then it's okay to do that. Because the whole thing with a personal brand and you as a person is you're constantly evolving. So where you were yesterday is not where you are today, where you were 6 months ago. And that's just the whole thing. Very, very rarely to nowadays do people go into a job. In fact, it doesn't happen, because if you started in one job and you were still in it, you could still be with the same company, but your role changes. Mm-hmm. So, and it's the same. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things about a relationship and a marriage. Is that, you know, in a business we evolve, in our career we evolve, and as a couple you evolve. But unless both of you are on that journey of change and self-awareness and going, do you know what, yeah, this is not what I liked 3 years ago when we met, or, you know, you've got to both be moving. I nearly think that's even harder than technically a business.
Absolutely. And it's having those conversations, and it's being able to articulate what it is that you want and to understand what it actually is, because we don't tend to ask ourselves these questions.
I honestly think where people potentially could make a mistake is they wait till things go wrong and then they audit themselves, or then they go, am I really happy? And then it becomes a much bigger transition to go, how do I get back on track? How do I fulfill that identity piece? And rather than it being little pieces now, it then becomes a huge step to get to where they need to be. So I would say, if someone's listening now and they're like, do you know what, I'm not really embracing my true identity, don't wait for the big thing. Think about what kind of little things can you do now.
That's such a valid and wise thing to say, because very few of us check in. I mean, even if it was in the, you know, once a week, you know, how am I feeling? How did last week go? How did, you know, what are my hopes and wishes and plans for this week? You know, how am I feeling in myself? We don't ask these questions often enough. And as you say, it's always, and this would be something that I would love to impart on people, is that it's always the massive things happen until we have a life-changing moment that change takes place. Which brings us nicely on to change, because you have changed your careers quite drastically, particularly around the story of the car loans. If you just want to share a wee bit about that and how you transitioned from working with Emirates and then going into styling and then what happened, because that's a bold move. And given that identity is really wrapped around self-image, which is then wrapped around self-worth, which is then connected to money, to go and, as they say in Scotland, to go and hawk yourself up with a car loan to set up a business, is, you know, that's a ballsy move, Kelly. That is ballsy. How did that all come about?
So I came to the Middle East when I was 21 and was crew, did that for sort of 2.5 years. And it was whilst I was flying, I kind of saw this opportunity of, you know, I just saw how Dubai was growing and how it was so much about you know, shopping and tourists and, you know, all this kind of experiences. And whenever I would chat to passengers, I would always say to them, so when you go to Dubai, go here, go here, go here. So there was the holiday rep in me in my previous career coming out into this extra service, I guess you could say, on board in Emirates. And my very first job was I worked in a retail store. So when I was still at school, I was working in a shop in Edinburgh. So, and I was like, wow, it would be amazing if there was like a personal shopping service here in the Middle East. And this sort of idea came to me when I was flying. I genuinely have my best ideas at 30,000 feet. I still do. Now, I don't know if it's the wine that also helps with that on board, but I really do. I don't know if it's the peace or the lack of oxygen. I have no idea. But I was like, you know what, this would be amazing. And there isn't a personal shopping service here. And I saw there was a couple opening in New York and there was one in London. And this is like 2004, 2005. And I decided, the more and more I thought about it, the more and more it consumed every single minute of what I did. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Now, I needed to stay with Emirates 3 years and you got a bonus at 3 years. If I'd stayed with them, it would have given me a little bit to kind of start my business. But I was like, no, I was so hell bent on going, I am starting this. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And I left 6 months before the 3 years was up. So I handed in my notice, and I genuinely believe that you don't wait for things to be perfect. Okay. If you wait till perfection, which, let's face it, doesn't exist, but if you wait for all your ducks to be in a row, there's always something that's going to happen. So not all my ducks were in a row, and that literally meant that I didn't have the legality of actually setting up a business. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I knew I'd work it out. So I left Emirates, handed in my notice. But when I did find out how to set up my business, they required me, the bank, you know, Dubai and all the red tape that they had in those days, was you needed to have the equivalent, I think it was £25,000 in a bank account so that you could get your trade license issued so that you, it said you owned 100% shares. Like, and then you could take the money out. I didn't know anyone with £25,000. I mean, his crew, you were earning, I don't know, £800 a month or something like that. Like, I just didn't have savings at 24. And I decided I would go to the bank and get a car loan. It didn't even occur to me that they'd ask what kind of car or, and I was just like, I'll go to the bank and ask for a car loan. And when I went to the bank, the manager said to me, oh, you know, it's quite a lot of money for like a young female and cabin crew. He was like, what kind of car are you buying? And I was like, and I really panicked. And I remember walking down the road when I'd seen someone advertising their Porsche. So I told him I was buying a Porsche. And he said to me, you've got really good taste. And I was like, thanks. And like three days later, the money was in the bank account. And then I basically used that to kind of live off and start my business. But here's the one thing, and this is not an advocate for debt, by the way, but what that did teach me was when you have a financial commitment that you have to pay for every single month, that might be your school fees, that might be your rent, whatever. But for me, I needed to pay that loan off every single month. So it gave me so much of ammunition and drive and this desire to go, I need to go and make this money. I really need to go and make this money. And I've seen it quite a lot with those that I mentor, that if they're in the position where they don't need to make money, it's not life or death. Life or death is a bit dramatic, but you know, a roof over your head, kids can feed, you eat, that kind of thing. You make sure you're out there marketing yourself, looking at opportunities on how to grow and expand. And honestly, that was the best thing I ever did. Best thing.
It focuses you, and I totally agree with you. You need some kind of, I have to do this. And anybody that works for themselves, and I've worked for myself for a long time, it takes a long time to remember and realize and recognize that the money always comes. Because as you say, when you've got that bill to pay at the end of the month, my God, you do it.
Oh, completely.
You just can focus. So there's an energetic intention in that as well. So in terms of the styling, this also fascinates me, because how we present ourselves as human beings, we're all about the visual. We have instant connection with people, and particularly now with social media and video and photos. I mean, we're living a very visual life, which has positives and negatives, but that's for another podcast. When you work with somebody, how important is it in terms of how they look to versus their services, their offering, their identity, their business? How important is it to have both of these working in tandem?
I would say they do. And it's because I have seven pillars that I talk about in personal branding in order to maximize your success with your personal brand. And style is one of those pillars. And one of the questions I get asked a lot is, well, which one's the most important? And I don't believe one of them is more important than the other. I believe that you need all of them. Do you need to work on all of them at the same time? No, not necessarily, because it might be from the style perspective. Maybe you just need some support with your photo shoot and your personal presentation for that. And that's the main piece for now. And then as you start to build on, it might be, oh, I might go and hire a stylist or do this, but it doesn't need to be something that's worked all the time. Versus it could be social media. That's consistency. So that is about what are you putting out that's super consistent all the time. But from the style perspective, I think people that don't consider that are slightly naive in the sense of, oh, well, yes, but you know, that, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover. And I completely understand that. And, you know, we've all been brought up that that's the belief. And it absolutely is. There's more to a person than when you first meet them. But the point is, you've got to want to find out more about them. And if you're really put off when you first meet them by their appearance or by their energy and how their vibe, it can be really hard to want to actually get to know them more. So that whole style piece, as much as it's about, you know, clothing, it's about, you know, how you show up, How do you engage with people? Ultimately, how do you make someone feel? Because that, I think, is very visual. How do you make someone feel? To the point is, do they want to work with you? Don't they want to work with you? Do they want to learn more about you? Don't they want to learn more about you?
100%. And it's interesting because how you look is how you make somebody feel. And this is what I love, because we tend to separate all of our senses when in actual fact, they're all kind of amalgamated into one another and we're using them interchangeably the whole time. And that's very much about the communication, because they talk about communication, you know, only whatever percent is verbal. You know, the rest of it, I think it's like 80 or 90% is nonverbal, which obviously is the visual aspects of people. Mm-hmm. And if people are listening that are thinking about transitioning into setting up a business, because I know you said back in the day, you just, oh, I wonder if there's styling and it just started to mold, but you've transitioned a few times in business and you coach people in business. So there must be much more of a structure to it than perhaps the gung-ho Kelly at 24, you know, given all your skills and experience. So what are the type of questions that people should be asking? They've recognised that I'm not happy what I'm doing. I've got this wee niggly thing about wanting to do X, Y, and Z. How should they frame that?
I really think it's ultimately, what do you enjoy doing? So I think if I was to put that into my first career as an entrepreneur, I loved working with people. Tick that. And first, people would say, what did you need to be a celebrity stylist? Like people. Because it's so interesting that people also work in the styling industry, but are in the shoot space rather than people. So magazines and film. And they don't actually like dealing with people. They prefer models and the not the hang-ups that real people have about certain kinds of clothing. But I would say, the things of what did I love is I always loved making people feel great about themselves. So I'd worked in retail. So that was kind of natural. People person and combining the style and the shopping piece. And that was 15 years. But as that evolved, there's only so many times I can walk into Zara or I can walk into Bloomingdale's or, you know, go and do all these things. And the novelty, I still love it, but it's not the same when you've been doing it 15 years, you know. And the piece that I was getting so much from, it was kind of natural in so many ways, was supporting a lot of the women that came in shops with me were their own were business owners, and they wanted to improve their personal style or whatever. And then they would be talking to me about their business. And then I would see like, well, have you considered this? And what about this? And have you considered doing this? And it was that sort of, I really loved the extra part. And I think coupled with the fact that I've invested so much personally into personal development and growth. I mean, I've had 5 or 6 different coaches over the past sort of 15 years. Some have stayed, some have been for various points that I wanted to grow in that career, whether it was Facebook ads, whether it's been general life business coaching, or whether it's been something more specific on finance coaching. So I've had a huge number, and I've amassed a wealth of information that I want to share with other people. So I felt that was quite organic, but ultimately it goes down to, what do you enjoy doing? And I think understanding that piece and then working backwards, not how can I make this happen, but going, what do I actually love? And taking it from there and then starting going, right, okay, what do I actually love? And then, is there a need for this? Is there other people doing it? Because it's good, actually. If there's other people doing it, it shows that there is a need for it. Then once you've established, is there a need for it? How can you do it differently? What makes someone come to you? And that's then down to your personal brand, the way you package it, the way you present it. And that's why that's so important, because it's very rare nowadays to come across a business that no one else is doing or no one else has done. So ultimately, your USP is you. So how do you make that connection?
Which kind of full circles back to understanding who you are and what's different about you, because ultimately these are the questions that you ask yourself as you know, who am I, what are my personal traits, my beliefs, my values, you know, and as you say, how do other people see you, because sometimes we're kind of clouded. It's fascinating stuff. You talked about personal development, and I know that you've said about previously when we've spoken that you hire business coaches and mentors, and it's interesting that when I decided to change from, so I was sort of had my PR business and I was painting as a hobby, and then decided when lockdown hit, and I'd worked in the arts and culture industry and we'd moved down to London And I decided when we moved out, I'm going to go part-time on the PR business and I'm going to spend half the time doing the art. I was of an age where I wasn't gung-ho naive anymore. And I just thought, still, and it was tentative. I was nervous about doing it.
I love it.
From a financial point of view. And then it was, I mean, you couldn't write it. We had a global pandemic. I lost all of my business because it was all arts and culture clients, which, as everybody knows, there was no events going on, nothing happened. And it was kind of like, okay, well, now I'm a full-time artist. Boom.
It was overnight. Kind of forced. It was forced. You were forced into it.
Forced into it, yeah. But what is interesting is that I tinkered away at it for a year and it was kind of, yeah, I mean, I was doing stuff, but nothing really to write home about. And then I decided to hire a mentor. And when you started to invest in yourself, everything up-leveled. Now, it up-leveled and it ended up feeding back into the business. But a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people struggle with spending money on themselves in this capacity for such a variety of different reasons. And I know I did because I had fear of, well, I shouldn't be spending that money. That needs to go into savings, or I need to put that towards the rent, or I need to put it towards this. But what is interesting, and it goes back to the, if you've got this bill to pay, by God, you find the money to do it. But what it does from a self-worth point of view is beyond what you can imagine. You think you're just investing in the business and you're turning it in so that you'll end up making more profit. So what was the kind of lessons that you learned? If there's, you know, it's very difficult to pinpoint it down to one, but what are the takeaways from this coaching, from the personal development, from investing in yourself, either personally or from a business point of view? Because I think the more we can share about this and the more we can encourage people to do it, and even if you are working in a job and you have no intention of leaving it, I think it's really important to have somebody that's not a family and not a friend that you can sound off and you can talk to, whether it's counselling, therapy, personal development. So what can you speak to of that in terms of how it's benefited you professionally and personally?
Well, I mean, I would say the amount that I've spent is vast. And I look at so many people who've gone to uni. I didn't do uni. And the people have got into debt from uni and they're not doing anything that they studied in. They're doing a completely different clip and they're still paying off their student loan. I would say I've paid the same as what anyone's gone, if not more. But it's still been stuff that's so practical that I still use now and I share the knowledge. I think off the back of that, there's been so many times I've never had the money, but I've solely believed, and you said it earlier on, actually, Vicky, that it was, I have the conviction and the belief to know the money will come. And when that first time I invested, my first coach was Tony Robbins' coaching program. And I think it was around $2,000. I'd never spent that in my entire life. I was shaken when I paid it on my credit card. Like, I was 25 years old and I was like, oh my God, but I wanted change. I was so ready for change. And if you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, then you're not going to go anywhere. I think there's like, it's a definition of madness. There's a quote about that. And it's not. So I was like, no, I want to do something different. So if I'm going to do something different, I've got to put in at the front end. And that to me was a coach. And it was the best thing I ever did. And so many times I've invested in it. My ex-partner, he didn't believe in it. And it was a big challenge, actually. And I used to lie to him and tell him that the investment were like, I'd go like, oh, it was, say it was $2,000. I'd go, yeah, it was $1,000. He'd go, ooh, that's expensive. I'm like, you've no idea. But I so believed in it that I knew it would pay off, and it always had. So that was kind of one side to it. The other side is, I genuinely believe if you're in a business of selling a service or even selling a product, but you've never parted with that kind of investment, how do you expect people to pay for working with you? So if you're selling something at $5,000 US, but you've never actually invested into something that's $5,000 US, it's really hard to make the cross connection for you to do it. So there's a really good book, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Yes. And it's the green cover about money. And she talks exactly about that, investing in a coach and how it was a game changer for her.
When it becomes about the money, it then becomes about your sense of worth. And mm-hmm. that in and of itself, and this is why this whole money, self-worth thing for me is you know, it's a journey that I am on myself, and I find it fascinating with how we equate what we have and what we spend with who we are and as a person, what we've got to offer the world. And it's an interesting conversation, and again, for another podcast. But you're absolutely right. When you commit to something, and this is where your intuition comes into it, that you know this is something you need to do. And it's that sort of taking the leap, and the doors will open or the net will appear. You don't need to know how you're going to do it. It's just going to happen. It's going to land. It's just taking that first step, which you've done throughout your entire career. It's just like, I'm going to do this. I have no idea how I'm going to do it. It's having that confidence in yourself, or enough belief in yourself that what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing, which takes us right the way back to understanding what it is that you love doing. Because so often, and this is why I'm so passionate about having these conversations, is that we are fed narratives from so many different places all the way throughout life that we don't really know who we are or what it is we want to do. Or, you know, we're kind of, I was put down the path of university because that was just the thing. We're just going to go to uni. And Jesus, I studied surveying at university.
Case in point, you know, you're doing something completely different. Yeah. But just to kind of wrap up on that point there, because I think it's really valid that people get paralyzed by fear, going, okay, well, this is what I should be doing. And then they think that that's the one thing. And my coach said to me years ago, and I think it's a great analogy, you can't steer a parked car. Okay, so start with doing something. And then you might go, do you know what? Actually, that was not for me. And then it kind of can go in another direction. So that transition between me selling the styling agency after 15 years and launching Brand New Creators, my personal branding agency, there was 2 years. And in between those 2 years, I actually launched another business, which was the S Academy, primarily for those that wanted to become stylists. Now, that to me seemed the natural progression to getting to the point of where I am. But I only did it for a couple of years because I realized that my heart, well, I didn't love it. I loved the diversity of the personal branding and the different businesses. But I think had I not done that, I wouldn't got to where I am. So start with something and know that you can't see the parked car, and then it's going to take you maybe right, maybe left, and other opportunities will open.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if you'd like to connect with me, then head over to my website, vickipaul.com, or you can find me on Instagram at @VickyJPaul. Why not take advantage of a special subscriber-only 10% discount off my personalised soul portraits? All you need to do is get in touch using the promo code PODCAST21. That's PODCAST21. And don't forget, you can buy my book, How to Be Successful, available anywhere that you buy books, or you can also get it via the link in the show notes. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And please continue to share this podcast with anyone you think might find it useful. I'd also really love if you could write a review, because that helps myself and my guests get discovered by more kindred spirits. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.